stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. And just it's extra special to have this guy on. He's a radio television superstar. It's Brian Kilmeade. Brian, how are you?
Joe, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, you've got a great new book out. It's called Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. And there's a subtitle here. It's The Battle That Shaped America's Destiny. You wrote it with Don Yeager, who you, of course, are a number one best-selling author along with because of Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates. Dude, did you imagine this growing up on Long Island? Seriously, did you imagine you're a number one best-selling author? You're a world-renowned television host and radio host. It's kind of heady, isn't it, Brian?
No, it's great, but it happened so everything's happening so gradual. In 96, when I walked into this building that you have me in now, they weren't even carried in New York. When you told people you were on Fox News, they said, you mean Fox Sports? And I said, no. They said, you mean Channel 5? I said, no. They didn't know what I was talking about, and right. I just got extremely lucky. It's one of those things that happened, and I always equated to this. It was like, you imagine if I was a Yankee in the 20s, and I walked into a locker room with this name of the Highlanders, and I thought to myself, there's potential here, and they end up being the winningest franchise ever after they signed a guy named Ruth and they built the stadium and everything like that. So I got really lucky. In terms of Long Island, you can relate because you're from there.
Yeah.
I studied George Washington's spy ring for 20 years. I could not believe I grew up there and knew he had a spy ring and didn't know he had a spy ring.
Right.
And when I decided, I thought that would be a great movie. I said, let's try to get that done. I told Don I wanted to do a sports book. I go, Don, I got to do this book, and I want to make it a movie. He says, we can approach this like a reporter. Let's just get new information. There's still a ton yet to know. So when that came out, then comes Jefferson, and then comes Jackson.
Right. And Jackson is a great historical figure who is extremely controversial. I told Molly this when she reached out to me. And I hope that you're cool about this, because I don't like Andrew Jackson. And I don't like him because of all of the racist stuff that was going on and the slavery, and he kicked the Indians off their land. But you tell a different story, about a story that I'm not familiar with, in Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. So what's the basis for this book, and will my opinion of him change after reading it?
Certain sections. I don't think anybody lives a perfect life.
Yeah.
So I do think he's lived a consequential life. And I think a couple of things. I can't do what John Meacham did. John Meacham did the comprehensive biography of Andrew Jackson. I can't do that. I can't do Washington. I can't do what David McCullough did with John Adams. But I can give you this section that I think is underappreciated, underutilized. And I could also tap into this. This must drive you crazy on your show. The lack of appreciation for American history. There's 100%. A war on history right now. So that's why when I do these shows now, I no longer feel like I'm sacrificing some newsworthiness for history, because it's both now. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're a 13-year-old and you lose your brothers in war, your dad before you died, and your mom during that war, unrelated but tangentially, yes.
Yeah.
If you're 13 living in the backwoods, you're going to be a vagrant. You're going to be a criminal. Andrew Jackson went the opposite way. And I think the American story can relate to that. You can decide, I'm going to say, woe is me, or this world will know my name.
Right.
He decided at that age to do it. So he became a lawyer, an attorney general, a congressman, a senator, a two-term president. But I focused on his volunteer work as a militia general. And then when the War of 1812 is going south, they had to go somewhere. And Washington dead, the revolution looked like it was being undone.
Yeah.
They turned to this aggressive, this great leader named Major General Andrew Jackson, made him a full general and said, start winning. And he did. When he arrived in New Orleans, so did the Invincibles, Wellington's Invincibles, who just defeated Napoleon. And somehow, with 1,400 guys, he had to defeat 10,000. In 3 weeks, he trained 5,000. And in 45 minutes, he did what Napoleon couldn't. He knocked out and destroyed the finest infantry in the world. And I thought America could rally around that truly American story.
And I agree with you. It's Brian Kilmeade, of course, Fox and Friends, of course, his radio program that's heard across the land every day, and a number one New York Times bestselling author. I'm not in any position to argue Andrew Jackson and the history of Andrew Jackson. I'm a very conservative guy. He was a Democrat, and he, through some of that dark history that I alluded to before, showed the really horrible history of the Democratic Party that has been hidden, part of that hidden history that you're talking about. But I'll be honest with you, I'd never heard of the Miracle of New Orleans. I don't know anything about this part of his history. And if I'm taking you at your word, and I am, without him, we perhaps aren't sitting here having this conversation today in this free land. Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, what they told us in school, and they don't mention a lot about 1812. I've always been fascinated with it because we didn't have the French to help us out. The right. British had revenge. We declared war on them, but we were unfit for the war. So the British said, great, we're going to teach all of our colonies a lesson. We're going to destroy them. And they were. They burned Washington to the ground, terrorized the East Coast. Everywhere we went to face off with them, we lost. Until things, as America always does, turns around at Baltimore, Star Spangled Banner written, beat them in Pensacola, took them out in Horseshoe Bend, and destroyed them in New Orleans. Now, people told us in school, and I had my social studies teacher turn up to my book signing in Huntington, where you used to, the region in which you used to live.
Yeah, right.
I said, you told me the Treaty of Ghent was signed. We didn't have to fight that battle, and that's true. But we found paperwork in Britain. Ron Drez did, a historian I interviewed, and he that showed that the British planned on holding it because they believed the Louisiana Purchase was a flip that knew that Napoleon never had the right to do. So they were going to somehow rationalize it and keep it. The general, Pakenham, who was Wellington's brother-in-law, planned on being the next governor. They brought their wives. They wanted to celebrate on Bourbon Street in New Orleans and stop us at the Mississippi. They didn't want us to grow. They feared what we became. We would never be invaded again. The world would know that America was up and coming, would not to be trifled with. And that was the word around the world about America then. We're the emerging power. And Jackson saw that. He became the most famous man in America. And 4 years later, would run for president. 8 years later, he'd be president.
Before this moment, Brian, I didn't know any of that. And I consider myself somebody who's in the know. I mean, I'm knowledgeable. I love history, and I learn as much as I can. This book is a must read. It's called Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. And that's just a snippet of what you're going to get in the book, and I urge you to go and get it. While I have you, I have to tap into some of your history. A sports guy for a long time, news guy for a long time. You mentioned the Star Spangled Banner that most people don't even realize. It was the battle. It was the patriotic cry surrounding the War of 1812. We had idiots in the NFL, my word, not yours, who actually went and played a game in London this season, Brian.
I know.
And they stood for God Save the Queen, and they knelt for the United States Star Spangled Banner. They clearly have no concept whatsoever why the song was written, what the words mean, even the third stanza that doesn't glorify slavery. And they looked even more clueless to me then than they ever had before. What would you say if you had an opportunity to talk to the specific guys, only a few guys that are doing it now, that are still kneeling because they're clearly ignorant of what the song really stands for and what that flag stands for?
First off, a couple of things. We do have a special coming on Fox News. It'll be December 10th. It'll show you the whole battle. I fly a drone. You'll see the whole battlefield.
Oh, great.
Number two is this is a sad day for us, I think, because Eli Manning's going to get benched Sunday, and his streak, the second longest, I think, in NFL history, is stopped of starts.
And by the way, people are celebrating that on racial lines on Twitter. I'm sure you've noticed this, which is very strange to me. Eli Manning, a two-time Super Bowl winner, and him being benched for Geno Smith this weekend.
I did not know that because it was just a seconds ago when I heard it as I came in here, and Manning with all the class just said, whatever I can do to help this team be successful. So that's a great family. As two white guys talking to each other, I don't want to sound as if I'm an expert on race relations. But I will say this. You and I look at black people, white people, Asian people as equals. We judge them by who they are. 100%. And if people looking at us right now don't think so, meet us, watch us, interact with us. Yep. And guess what? We are like most of America. We are not a perfect country, but man, have we made strides. When you kneel for the national anthem, I can't listen to your message, because we should all agree that America is the place that we want to make better. When you take a knee and diss the country, you mess with our foundation. That's what they don't understand. And I also don't like taking on law enforcement. Some of the people I respect most in this world who are now leading the war on terror, sadly, look at the bike path killer, are law enforcement. Yeah. Are there some that have problems with race relations? Yes. And there's some at Kmart that do, and there's some at Sears that do. That doesn't represent law enforcement. I have a problem with that. But for you to take a knee, it makes me wonder, do you know who we fought for our freedom? And do you know the history between us? I mean, I don't think they do. And what they did is they graduated into this by a guy that's no longer in the league that skidded into a movement. This isn't Muhammad Ali, Bill Russell, Jim Brown, Martin Luther King of the 60s when they told us to use separate water fountains and separate bathrooms and go in separate places in buses. This is 2017. You want to make us better? Great. You want to diss the foundation, embarrass us internationally? We don't like that. And the NFL is paying the price at the ticket booth. At the ratings, 10% means billions of dollars.
Well, it does. And so well said. I just want to add this. When you take the knee, before we've had the conversation, then tell me you're taking the knee to have the conversation. You're literally telling me you don't want to have the conversation when you take the knee.
Good point.
You're making $2 million a year on average. Kaepernick was making much more than that when he decided not to resign. And now he's complaining he can't be in the league. He could have still been in the league. He opted out. He's wearing a shirt that heralds Fidel Castro. None of it makes any sense. And it really is, you and I having a cup of coffee some morning, just having a conversation about it, we would actually look at each other and say, well, this is really stupid what these guys are doing. The problem is, some are buying into it. Brian, you're not going to believe me, and by the way, I'm more of a Miami Dolphins fan than a Giants fan, but I haven't watched NFL football in 2 seasons.
Wow.
I won't watch it.
I had the NFL ticket. That.
I mean, 2 seasons. And the reason I'm not watching it isn't because I don't miss it, because I do. It isn't because I don't love it, because I love it. I'm not watching it because they're telling me before they ever kick the ball off, I don't care what you think. I don't care what your sensibilities are, and I certainly don't care about your patriotism for this country that we hate. Now let's go play a game. Not going to happen until they all stand. It's that simple for me.
I can't argue with you, and I cannot tell you. I said something on Wednesday before Thanksgiving on Fox and Friends. I said, Thanksgiving's going to be great, going to my brother's house. I can't wait to watch football. Because I'm thinking Giants, the Lions are better.
Yeah, right.
And I got so much blowback for saying I was going to watch football. Can
Imagine
you
that.
Believe this?
Yeah.
I said I was, and I didn't even know, remember I said it. It just was a knee-jerk reaction since I've covered 31 Super Bowls.
Right.
It just is something I've always done and really pick up steam since. So that's where people are at. And most of the people I know and follow me are sports fans or athletes. So these are people who are sacrificing, doing other things. These deals, this is what it was explained to me. The players don't feel it. They get 55% of the revenue. They don't feel it because the deals are signed already. The sponsorship, the contracts. But when those sponsorship deals come up, when ESPN says, I don't know if I'm paying for the rights for football, is too right. expensive. And they come back and they go, here's how small your paycheck is. It goes from 55% to 45%. This is what's going on. It's directly related to revenue. Do you want to see the books? That's when it's going to happen. Sadly, the union never leads. The union has a say in this. They needed to call up to Roger Goodell and say, listen, I'll cut a deal. Instead, yeah. they say, we're not doing it. I back my players. Roger Goodell is taking a bullet, I believe, for the union. Because if he said, hey, guys, if it was up to me, they'd stand. Go yell at the players. Then he loses the players. So what he's saying is, I'll take all the heat, but he doesn't really deserve all the heat. That's in my view.
No, and I understand that. And you and I could talk probably for 2 hours on this. I appreciate you going off on the tangent with me. The name of the book is Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. It's Brian Kilmeade. I urge you to go and get this book. I want you to watch him every morning, listen to him on the radio as well. Brian, before I let you go, it's obvious to you and me and Ainsley and Steve and everybody else who watches you guys and who knows you guys, that the president is watching Fox and Friends every morning and live yep. tweeting what you guys are saying. How does that? That's got to feel nuts. I mean, you know that something you just reported, he's now tweeting about. It's got to be kind of cool, no?
It's great. And, you know, I don't take a day for granted. It's like, Joe, if you became president now and you talked to us every Tuesday and it was Joe Pags, the president, we wouldn't lose our relationship and respect for each other. So you right. might watch our show for the news, especially when every other channel hates everything you do. I flip around on days I'm off.
Yeah.
They hate him. They flip every. They did a 2 hours on Pocahontas in Time magazine when we know tax reform and other things are out there, including transgression from Al Franken. And company. So the fact that we're somewhat open makes him give very little choice in the morning, but it's pretty cool.
I just got a little bit of a thing in here for me. Earlier this month, I was invited to the White House. I interviewed the president. So my channel is also pro-President Trump, at least when I'm on. But
now, what was he like for you? What was
he was cool. Well, I interviewed him 6 times before he won. And he was very cool, very open with me, and it was a really good relationship. Sitting down with him, as you have, staring him in the eye, 2 feet away, one-on-one conversation, he is a really good dude. He's a good guy who really loves the country. I think, like you and me, we're from the same part of the world, and plus you and I have very similar heritages. We want to fight back when somebody hits us. When somebody hits us, we want to hit back. And I think that sometimes he gets mired in that a bit, and that's why they get to call him unfit or unpresidential. But this is a good guy who loves America that gave up tons of money to do this in hopes of fixing the country that he loves so much. That's what I walked away from. And I guess you walked away feeling kind of the same.
And here's the one thing I tell people. I don't have a lot of sayings and beliefs, but I got one. How you can judge a person's character on how they treat people they need nothing from. Yeah, it would be good if Joe Pag said something positive about me, but he really doesn't need me.
Nope.
He doesn't need Brian Kilmeade. He doesn't need anybody. He needs Fox on his side, maybe overall. But when he was on The Apprentice and it was in its first season, he would see me walk on the red carpet and say, Brian, what's going on? Do you want an interview? Knowing I'm not an entertainment guy.
Yeah.
I came there because Trump was doing our show. When I was doing Sports Phone, which was before all 24-hour sports radio,
right?
When he was promoting Tyson fights, he has no memory of this. He treated my mic flag, which is the lowest rung in media, as if I was a network. So how does he treat people he need nothing from? Very high. Billionaire that is a president that walks around not feeling he's above anyone, and that's why he gets the big crowds, and that's why Flyover America is his America.
So well said. Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans, the battle that shaped America's destiny. Of course, Brian Kilmeade and Don Yeager. Go and get this book. Brian, thanks a million. Let's talk again, my friend.
I love it, Joe. Continued success.
All right, back at you. Right back after this on the Joe Pag Show.
Joe Pags.